We're pleased at this time to be joined by the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, who I know is looking forward to spending 4 days of quality time at the lovely Hotel Anatole in Dallas, Alex Anthopoulos of the Toronto Blue Jays. You ready not to see the sun for 4 days?
Absolutely. It's. I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, and I haven't been in the game that long, but the winter meetings, I think, back in the day were set up when we didn't have Blackberries and cell phones, and you had to sit in a hotel suite and wait for the phone to ring, and you had somebody that manned the phones. But now we end up just holed up in a room, and you just wait to see if something's going to happen, and you have your entire staff together, and you're there as a group. But it's not as exciting as it sounds, and you literally are there morning to night just in a hotel suite with 10 people, 20 people, whatever it is, and there's a lot of you think so-and-so would do this or you think they would trade this guy or that guy, and rather than talk about hypotheticals, I'd rather just get on the phone and ask rather than, you know, sometimes in past years from the winter meetings I've been to, we would debate for 3 hours and we had no idea if a team would even do anything. So, but it's either way, it's good in the sense that GMs are certainly motivated to do things. There's a lot of agents there, a lot of contracts get done. But I can't tell you that I necessarily enjoy it because I think we do get more done prior to the meetings than after the meetings.
I've always been interested, Alex. I know that teams, quote-unquote, teams meet with other teams. Your time is valuable. How do you decide who you meet with? In other words, how do you structure these meetings? Because you can't. I can't imagine that you can meet face-to-face, or maybe you can with all the teams.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I guess there's a political component to this too, and this is probably more just for the fans that are, you know, hearing this. It's the way it works is a team's going to come in, and then it's a question of, well, how many guys are they going to bring? So if it's the GM and five guys, well, then the other GM will have five guys. And if you've got 20 guys in your room, you've got to pick a certain amount of guys, and then you're asking other people to leave the room and so on. And, you know, I always thought it's tough, and I think if you're in that suite because you have a lot of scouts and development staff and front office staff, and you're not going to have a meeting 20 on 20. So, you know, some guys would get their back up or get offended if they weren't invited to be included and so on. And that's why, to me, I guess since I got the GM position, our group at the winter meetings is probably as small as it gets, and we keep it very small because I don't want to be in the position where I'm asking guys to leave the room as if I don't want them to hear what's being said or I don't trust them. So, you know, I find my first two GM meetings, for the most part, I did either one-on-one meetings with the GM so no one got offended and anything like that at all, and or at most, if they felt compelled to bring an assistant, it would be myself and Tony LaCava because he's certainly the clear-cut number two guy in this organization behind me. But that would be it. That would be the extent of it, and I think it works well, and it's a lot easier to conduct meetings and have dialogue and really simulate whatever we're doing in Toronto should be simulated there, whereas I think a lot of clubs expand their pool of people that are in those meetings, and I think it could just get convoluted and start slowing things down.
With Alex Anthopoulos on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Are there, look, you've got relationships with every general manager, but there are probably ones you're closer to than others. Will you deal with the ones you know the best first?
I don't know that there's no question. It's like anything, there's certain people you prefer to deal with. It's easier to deal with. You have more of a feel for them. They have a better feel for you, and you can cut to the chase. Other people, it's just the way you connect with them. But, I know I didn't answer the first question when you asked about how do you pick who you meet with. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the groundwork is done now where, you know, you have a sense of, you might have, you know, we may have some trade talks right now with three or four clubs, and it may not go anywhere. We may say, you know what, let's continue to talk a little bit at the winter meetings. Or you might be talking to a free agent, and the agent says, you know what, why don't we meet in Dallas and go over things and talk a little bit more. So what you do find happens is you're there for 3 or 4 days, and some people, I don't want to say get bored, but they don't have anything going on, and they just call you up randomly when you're there and say, hey, do you want to meet tonight and see if we have any fits? I feel like we'll already know at that point. I mean, if we don't know who we potentially line up with or who we have a fit with going into the meetings, that means we're not doing our jobs here. We should be making phone calls, which we are. We should be active. We should be involved. But you're also there to see if things change on the fly. Something comes up, three-way trades. Things do emerge, and there can be new information that comes about. But I think a lot of the work is done prior to. So you don't get selective of who you want to deal with. You're always targeting players, and you see if you have a fit there.
With Alex Anthopoulos on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Alex, I did want to get one thing cleared up because, and I know you're not going to comment on specific players, but philosophically, does this team have an issue with the posting process when it comes to Japanese players? Because there has been a thought out there that Paul Beeston is you know, quote, not in, I'm paraphrasing, just not in favor of the whole concept of posting.
Yeah, and I know I read that, you know, Paul came out and said he's not in favor of the posting process, and I understand. I think it's, I mean, I think objectively, we'd all say it's probably not the most effective way of doing things, just because you're ultimately, you know, you have, from a major league club standpoint, you have X amount of dollars to work with, and the more you commit to trying to win that bid, the less money is available to the player, which obviously doesn't necessarily benefit the player at all, and it certainly benefits the club that's going to post. So I want to say from a selfish standpoint or from a club standpoint, you know, if I'm a club in Japan, well, I like the way it's set up because I certainly have a chance to get more dollars for our players rather than allowing them to walk as free agents. And you know you can't trade them here, so you're not going to get players. And the only thing you can get in return for the players that you either drafted or developed over there is to get money and to try to reallocate it. So from their side of it, I understand it completely. From our side of it, it makes things a little more complex. And ultimately, you know, you're trying to find a way to make it fair. Mm-hmm. And I think you saw it with Dice K. I mean, $100 million expenditure, half went to the club, half went to the player. Ultimately, Boston felt this was a $100 million player. And if he had been a pure free agent, that money would have gone to him. So that's ultimately why I think it doesn't necessarily work extremely well. But I think for what is being done in Japan and what's going on there, it's probably the best alternative for them.
With Alex Anthopoulos on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, we kind of think we have an idea of what your shopping list is, you know, pitching, and second baseman. But is there one position that you think you can fill specific or you're more likely to fill through trade than free agency?
Tough to say, because I know we're exploring both. I mean, I was just on a phone with an agent before we jumped on, and we were talking, about that exact same thing. There's some trades that we can make, or we can go spend the money on a free agent, and ultimately, you're just sitting there as you debate internally. It's always easier to spend money than it is to give up players, but ultimately, you know, sometimes you're spending money that you just don't feel the value's there. It doesn't make any sense. And there's also some very appealing players in trade. So we're looking at both. And there's no question it's easier. It's always easier to just spend the money. Because if you make a mistake, I don't want to say it's only money, because it certainly does impact things and it can impact your payroll going forward. But it feels like it hurts a lot more when you make a mistake in a trade and you give up a very good player. Mm-hmm. All that being said, I know I've come out and said that our preferred route is going to be the trade market, just because the free agent market for us, and the 2 years I've been in the GM's chair and the other years I've been in the AGM chair, you rarely find value in a free agent deal. So it's been a lot of why the philosophy and why we're set up the way we are, and that means we're going to take more risks, and that means we'll make more mistakes, and we're going to give up players, and that's the best avenue for us for the way we're trying to build this thing.
Alex, is there a component of the game offensively that this team needs in particular? You know, I know right now that obviously second base is an issue, but left-handed guy, switch hitter. I mean, you know, is there a kind of that offensive guy that you think this lineup needs to lengthen itself?
Well, I think the one thing we always continue to try to upgrade, focus on, is our on-base percentage. You know, we've got guys like Jose and Yunel that are very good with that. You know, Kelly Johnson's a guy that'll draw some walks and be a good on-base guy. And we've had guys that, you know, we think could get better, whether it's JPR and CB, Adam Lynn. You know, Brett Laurie, it's certainly in there, and that's something we asked them to focus on. Colby Rasmus has shown the ability to draw some walks in the past, but that can get better, and Eric Thames as well. So, and Encarnacion in the same way. He took off in the second half when that walk rate spiked, and he was more selective. And just you look at the great American League East lineups. They grind out the starters. They try to get them out of the game after four or five innings, get to the bullpen, especially the first game of the series, and just end up wearing you down. And they have lineups that just wear you down, and we're trying to get to that level. And I think slowly but surely we are getting there. But that doesn't mean that we're going to forego good players and take someone that just walks, because it's not necessarily about that. But trying to get on-base percentage up is definitely a focus at all times.
With Alex Anthopoulos on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Alex, before I let you go, I do want to ask you about the catching position. I mean, obviously, Jose Molina will not be back. He's with Tampa Bay. Travis d'Arnaud, he's expected, I know from talking to John Farrell, he's expected to be ready for spring training, but I think the plan is to keep him in AAA, if I'm not mistaken. You'd like him to be in AAA all year. What do you see in the market in the way of a backup catcher?
You know, there's still a lot of names out there in free agency. There's a few names out there in trade that we've explored that as well. I think the one thing that we feel better about this season is, you know, we have a guy in JP that we think can be a 130-plus game guy. He really split the role with Jose, I think, the first few weeks or the first month, and then he was pretty much the everyday guy, from May on. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, I know going into last year there was a little bit of a concern if JP failed or struggled. We wanted the backup to be able to handle the load from an everyday standpoint. It worked out with Jose and him, and JP took the job and ran with it and held it. But I think right now we obviously know a lot more about JP, and we feel a lot more confident to know what he's going to bring from a durability standpoint. So I think it gives us a lot more options, and we're not going to be as much concerned about the durability of the backup or the ability to catch 100 games if need be. We're just going to look for the right fit.